All right, let's dive deep today. We're tackling deflation. And it might sound a bit, well, deflated at first, but stick around. Deflation. It's more interesting than you might think. You want to understand what it is, how it works, how does it play out in the real world, especially in Japan, right?
Absolutely. And the key thing to remember is deflation isn't just about prices going down. It's this whole economic ecosystem about expectations, behavior, and a nation's financial health.
So let's unpack that. Imagine. You're looking at a new gadget. Everyone's talking about it. It costs £200, but you hear it'll be £150 next month. Do you buy it now or wait?
Exactly. And that hesitation you just felt, if everyone feels that, that's deflationary expectations. If everyone thinks prices will keep dropping, they'll put off buying. And if that happens across a whole economy, spending stops, that's bad news for businesses.
So it's not about getting a good deal. It changes everyone's behavior, like a snowball effect. What happens when businesses see that? What do they do when their profits shrink?
Well, they have to adapt. They cut costs, sometimes jobs, wages too. And that can start a bad spiral, like what we see in recessions.
Each domino knocks down the next. Imagine buying a house. Big investment, right? Now imagine the housing market takes a hit. Your house loses £20,000 in value. Ouch. Your mortgage payments are the same. But you're underwater, paying more than the house is worth.
Yeah. Deflation can really amplify debt. Makes it feel heavier. Even though you technically owe the same amount.
Now, fun fact time. Did you know the last time the UK saw negative inflation was March 1960? Eisenhower was president. Cliff Richard was on the charts.
Huh. A great historical marker. It shows the difference between negative inflation and deflation. They might sound the same, but economists, they see negative inflation as short term, a blip. Deflation, that's persistent, long term.
So it's not just prices going down a little. It's the expectation that they'll keep going down.
Exactly. And that expectation, that's what makes deflation different. Speaking of long-term trends, I've seen it firsthand in Tokyo. For the past 20 years, prices have barely moved there. It's a real-life example of what deflation looks like.
Wow, a city frozen in time, price-wise. So if deflation isn't a simple price decrease, does that mean there are different types? Could some be good?
You're onto something. Economist Roger Bootle came up with the idea of good and bad deflation. And it's a helpful way to think about it. Bad deflation, that's when we usually think of. It comes from weak demand. Companies have to lower prices, even wages, just to attract buyers.
It's that downward spiral we talked about,
yeah.
A vicious cycle. What about good deflation? Does that really exist?
It does. It's called benign deflation. This happens when prices fall because of positive things like big technological jumps or huge gains in productivity, lower prices, higher output, a win-win.
So a company figures out how to make something cheaper. They sell it for less, but still make money. They pass on the savings to us.
Exactly. Like the second industrial revolution, the US and the UK grew a lot then, even though prices were falling. New inventions, better steam engines, improved steel, expanding railways, lower costs for everyone.
That changes how we think about falling prices. We assume they're always bad.
Right. But in economics, there's always another side. Malevolent deflation. That's the darker side. When fear of future price drops stops people from spending, they wait for a better deal, but it might never come. And that waiting slows down the economy, businesses struggle, jobs are lost, wages stagnate.
Everyone waits for a sale, but that makes things worse for everyone.
Exactly. And this is where Japan comes in. It's a great example of how deflation works long term and the struggle to break free from it.
Japan. They've been dealing with deflation for decades. They had that post-war economic miracle. Then the bubble burst in the late 80s. And that started what they call the lost three decades.
It shows how fast things can change. And Japan's deflationary spiral was caused by a few things. A strong yen, weak demand at home, and falling asset prices.
So what was it like for people? How did deflation change their daily lives, their wages, their jobs?
Lots of uncertainty. Wages were pushed down. They actually fell for a while. That was partly because of the job market. More part-time jobs, more temporary positions, and lots of wage freezes.
So even if things were cheaper, people were making less money. Not a good recipe for a strong economy.
Not at all. That fear, that uncertainty from deflation made people scared to spend. And that slowed down the economy even more.
Yeah.
A vicious cycle.
And the Bank of Japan, the BOJ, they didn't just sit back, did they? I remember reading about what they tried. Zero interest rate policies, quantitative easing, even negative interest rates.
They tried everything to stimulate the economy, to escape deflation. And then there was Abenomics, Prime Minister Abe's plan to get Japan back on track.
Break down Abenomics for us. What was the strategy?
Three parts: monetary easing, fiscal stimulus, and structural reforms. It looked good on paper.
And did it work? Did Japan escape deflation?
It's hard to say. There were some good signs. Land and real estate prices went up a little, but real lasting inflation, that was still a challenge.
And then there were those global shocks, COVID-19, supply chain problem.
Exactly. And those problems actually pushed Japan's inflation up above the BOJ's 2% target.
But wasn't a lot of that shrinkflation? Smaller products, not higher prices.
Yeah, that was a big part of it. So Japan technically had inflation.
But it wasn't the good kind, kind driven by demand, kind of a hollow victory.
So as we wrap up this part, what's the main lesson from Japan?
I think it shows how complex deflation is. There's no easy fix. And once it starts, it's hard to get out. It also shows how important consumer confidence is, that balance between prices and wages, and how the whole economy works together.
Like quicksand. The more you struggle, the deeper you sink. Japan's story really shows deflation isn't just an idea. It affects real people, businesses, entire countries.
Yeah, it does. And it makes you think, could this inflation in Japan, even if it's partly shrinkflation, be a sign that things are changing? Or is it just temporary? That's the big question, turning the corner. There's the break, but stepping back. Is deflation always bad? Are there any upsides?
It's not always all doom and gloom. Remember, benign deflation, when it's caused by technology getting better or everyone working more efficiently, it can lead to lower prices and businesses making more, a win-win.
Right, like those examples from the Second Industrial Revolution. Innovation lowered costs and boosted the economy.
Exactly. And for people on fixed incomes, lower prices are great. They can buy more with the same money.
Like a race, without actually getting one. But I'm guessing there are some downsides.
Of course. Even benign deflation has its limits. If prices fall too fast or stay low for too long, that deflationary spiral can start.
Because even if things are cheaper, if people worry about jobs or their wages being cut, they won't spend as much.
Exactly. It's all about balance. Moderate price drops from good things like efficiency and new technology. Those can be good. But when deflation takes hold and fear takes over, turning things around is really hard.
So for our listener, why should they care about deflation? How does this affect them?
Understanding deflation and how it's different from negative inflation. It's like a superpower. In today's world, you can make smarter choices as a consumer, an investor, even as a citizen.
It's about seeing the warning signs, understanding what happens if we do nothing, being proactive.
Exactly. Deflation might not be exciting, but it's a powerful force. It can really impact our lives.
It reminds us that economics, it's not just theory. It's about real people making decisions in a world that's always changing. So it sounds like deflation is something we should all keep an eye on, even if it's not front page news.
Absolutely. It's like that slow leak in your tire. Doesn't seem urgent at first, but ignore it and you'll have a bigger problem later.
So what's the one thing our listeners should remember about deflation?
Expectations. Yeah. Really powerful. Deflation isn't just about prices going down. It's about everyone believing they'll keep going down. And that belief can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Less spending, a stagnant economy, maybe even a recession.
Everyone loses confidence. They think things will keep getting worse.
Exactly. And getting that confidence back, that's a tough challenge for governments and central banks.
This has been a fascinating look at deflation. We learned it's more than just prices dropping. There are different types with different effects. It impacts whole economies, people, businesses, governments.
It's been great diving deep with you. I hope our listener found this interesting.
Absolutely. And for our listener, here's something to think about. We talked a lot about Japan and deflation. What about other countries? Are any economies today showing signs of deflation? And if so, what can we learn from Japan? What do they go through? Keep those questions in mind. Stay curious. Keep learning.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into deflation. Until next time, stay curious. Keep diving deep.